Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Luke chapter 1, verses 57 through 80. The Reverend Dr. John Feaker is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Luke, the first chapter. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her. And they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And so they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all of their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be?" For the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. For he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high and give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. Two boys are born at the beginning of Luke's gospel, 6 months apart. Because their mothers were cousins, artists often depict the boys playing together. This is rather unlikely. Mary's boy grew up way north in Galilee, and Elizabeth's son was in the hill country of Judea. And it's there in the hill country of the wilderness that John grew to manhood, just as Elijah was before him in the wilderness. John knew the storms and the winds and the quaking of the earth. But his still small voice was the voice of his parents and the promise that they had heard of all the work that God had for John to do, his role in God's plan for his holy people. As we just heard, at the birth of John, his father sung of that plan. So John was not born without history or without an identity. He knew that he belonged to God's people and that he had an important role to play. And so when it came time for him to do what he was to do, he burst forth onto the scene in his public ministry. A gaunt, startling figure with hair and clothes that bespoke an Elijah. He went into all of the region around the Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. St. Luke records some of this. All of the people, he writes, were in expectation and were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Christ. John answered them, saying, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by John for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all and locked John in prison. There it was. Game over. John found himself in prison and eventually headed to execution. John's head was lopped off at the request of a strip dancer, motivated by her marriage-wrecking mother and by a half-drunken despot. So in prison, John began to wonder whether this must be some kind of mistake. And so he sent his disciples to Jesus with the questions, "Are you for real? Are you the one?" The answer that John got was nothing he didn't already know. Jesus said, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame are walking, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." And herein lies John's final temptation and our temptation as well. Jesus was doing his work his way, and it didn't seem to fit into the way John thought that work would be done. So John was faced with the question, Jesus' way or the way I think things should go? In the end, John answered that question with his own life. Against his own doubts and securities, he laid his neck on the block. And with his death, he confessed with ultimate clarity, "Yes, you are the one. Your way, not mine." And so in John, we see a faith that holds us through death, and that is a gift of Christ. You know, I think if we tend to use the heroes of the Bible as only as examples, we can get pretty discouraged. We can start to wonder, what use does God have of me compared to John the Baptist? And yet in the case of John the Baptist, we are most like him when we heed his message of repentance and faith, a message that points us away from ourselves to Jesus. Follow the hand of the baptizer who points, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Your sin, mine. All our failures, our doubting of God's plans and promises, our insistence on our way instead of his. Christ has already answered for those sins. The Lamb that was slain for our forgiveness that we too can be included in God's holy people. Here with his people, God accomplishes the work that he puts us into today, here, in this place. In our lives that are shaped by his love, and the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus will hold us through death and one day bring us into resurrection. Through that one whose birth we will celebrate, God willing, 6 months from tonight, whose coming John the Baptist heralds, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin." In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the congregations of the Iowa District West and their pastors, together with all schools, teachers, and church workers. We also pray for Reverend Dale and Suzanne Castor, who serve the Lord in the Czech Republic. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.